Good morning. This morning I desire to share just a small part of a burden that I have. There's no way that I can reach the depths of it today or be very exhaustive, but we're going to just deal with a scripture and just there's kind of a way that it branches out. And so I want to share this with you this morning. I realize this is Mother's Day, and lots of people plan their services to just honor the mothers in the congregation. And we do pray that the Lord will bless you this morning. But actually, that's not really what I feel God has given me. Although I can see how the message this morning is very important in the life and the heart of a mother. The book of James, chapter 3, I would like to begin here. In verse 13. The way this is stated makes me very curious as to what the apostle was dealing with. I just wonder what kind of people that he was speaking to and how they were acting. Because look at how he's admonishing them. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? That's just kind of an interesting thing that he did here. He asked the question, who of you professes to be wise and filled with knowledge? So that's whom I'm addressing, is kind of what he's saying. And then he gives you a challenge, and he addressed this to those people who were professing to be wise. We also profess and claim to be wise, don't we? Don't we say, well, I feel like I'm a pretty wise person. Most of us think that way anyway. He said, here's the challenge. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. I just want to explore the thought about wisdom today. The message this morning brings out the importance of wisdom in all of the aspects of our lives and how we don't have it. But there is one that has wisdom, and it's imperative that we seek after wisdom today. We can profess to be wise, but there is proof of real wisdom in the life. It comes and is shown in our words and actions. He said, you show that you are a wise man. Show it with your good conversation and meekness of wisdom. I want to come back to that thought about the meekness of wisdom, because it's a very enlightening thought right there. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. And I think what he's saying here is just acknowledge that your profession is false. Don't say to the world, I'm a Christian. I have wisdom in my life. If there's strife and if there's bitterness and if there's envying motivating the words and the deeds of our lives this morning, it's just clear proof. And in fact, it's kind of an embarrassing thing to profess wisdom and then to have all that coming out of our lives. He said, don't glory, quit boasting, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. There's a progression there, and that's not my message, but there's quite a message in that verse of how earthly wisdom, it doesn't just remain earthly, but it degrades. And you find these things in a person whose life is consumed with selfish living. It quickly degrades into something that's sensual and even devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Again, there's a message in that. You can prove that. There's been situations and people that have just portrayed that verse. Sad to say, you indeed can find religious confusion and just evil in the lives of people who profess but don't really have the meekness of wisdom in their lives. Then he goes on. This is so much more beautiful than talking about that. For the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That verse right there is a challenge to me to pursue godly wisdom, because I want all of that in my life, and we each should desire to have those things in our lives. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now I'm thinking over in the book of Proverbs, the beginning of the Proverbs, God gave Solomon these words, and the purpose of these words in verse 2 of Proverbs 1 is to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Then he goes down, and in verse 7 he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And again he repeats that in chapter 9, and he says in verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So how are you going to really be a wise person in your life? What is the beginning of wisdom in your life? And this is not just for somebody. Being college educated is not evidence of wisdom, is it? Being an older person is not evidence of wisdom. Being a mom or a dad doesn't necessarily say, well, I'm wise now. Being in your 20s or your 30s or your 40s or even in your 70s, that doesn't say, okay, I've reached wisdom now. What is the beginning of wisdom? And you can see, you can have this as a child. You can begin the path of wisdom and begin to seek wisdom when you're a little child. And it's not hard. You know what it says here? The fear of the Lord. And let's change that word fear, because sometimes when we read that word fear, it puts us off because we're thinking it's something frightening, like thunder or lightning or darkness or something scary. But you know, God's not scary, but God is to be reverenced. And he's, and like thunder and lightning, thunder and lightning is very awesome, isn't it? I mean, it makes you wonder. It makes you realize there's great power here, that if it were unleashed, if it were to strike me, there's power of life and death here. But it's also very useful. It's also very important. Electricity or fire in our world is a very fearful and awesome thing, but it's also very useful and helpful. That's a real poor illustration, but it's one that I'm just trying to use to help us to realize how we respect and fear the concept of electricity or fire. We respect it, don't we? We have a reverence for it. And that's the way it is with God. God is a person. God is love. God is compassion. He's mercy. He's tenderness. He's the author of everything good and kind and gracious. But at the same time, we respect him and fear him because he's also the creator. And he also has order. He has law. Everything in creation works by his law. And to tamper with or disregard his law brings us into great danger and death. So that's why we should fear him and honor him. Well, we as people, we have a resistance to doing that. We have a resistance to fearing and being in all of any authority. We're born with a resistance to that. But if we can learn to open our hearts and our minds to reverence and having an awe and a respect to God and to authority, to our parents, that opens up wisdom in your life. It opens up the way for wisdom to be in your heart and your life. The beginning of wisdom is the respect and the awe and the reverence of God. In that reverence, in that fear of God, then we learn to regard what He has said to do and not to do, and we learn to respect that and obey that. And in obeying that, then we learn something else. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 8 and 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy, the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. So when we love and reverence God, we also begin to hate everything that we know God has said not to do. Why? We see how it hurts people. We see how it hurts others. We see how it disrupts the order and the law that God has made, that causes everything to be peaceful, causes everything to be pleasant and as it should be. Think about this a little bit. When we open our hearts to God and we take away that resistance that we have toward God and we honor Him and we reverence Him, what is that in our hearts? What is that doing? We're humbling ourselves. That's what we're doing. We're taking away all of our resistance and our defenses against God, and we're saying to Him, "You are God and You are Lord, and I honor You as Lord, and I honor what You've said, and I respect what You do and Your law, and I want to follow You." There is a meekness that comes into the heart and life of a person who fears God. And that meekness is really where true wisdom comes from. In all of your life, there's a meekness of wisdom. Jesus said this. He said, "Come to Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What He's saying here is the same thing that we said, the fear of the Lord. Come and honor Jesus as Lord of your life. Come to Him. Quit hiding away. Quit defending yourself from Him. Quit being resistant to Christ. But come, and I'll give you rest. The pride and the resistance and the folly of man keeps him in great unrest. There is no rest, Scripture says, to the wicked. He's constantly bucking up against God. He's constantly rising up. Just like the waves of the sea, the Bible says the wicked are like the waves of the sea. They're troubled and they're never at rest. But when you come to Christ, when you take down all your defenses against Him and say, "I want You to be Lord of my life and I want to honor You and respect You and humble myself to You," that right there causes there to be rest in your life. "You come to Me," Jesus said, "all ye that are heavy laden and who are laboring, and I'll give you rest. Take My yoke or My discipline on you and learn of Me. And for I am meek and lowly in heart." We know that Jesus Christ, they say Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, but Jesus Christ was greater than Solomon. Jesus is the wisdom. Jesus is the source. He is wisdom. So if we take Him, if we come to Him and we take His discipline and learn of Him, we'll find rest to our souls because there's a meekness and a lowliness in Jesus Christ. That's what made him so meek, so wise. In Proverbs 1, where I started reading in the book of Proverbs, I want to go on down there just a little bit. It says, verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A wise man, he has the fear of God and the respect and honor to God, and so he'll hear. He'll listen. A wise person will be meek, and he will listen, and he'll increase in learning. You take anything that you want to learn. Let's say you want to learn Spanish, and you go out, and you have this thought that you know Spanish. And you go out, and you start just jabbering. Is jabbering Spanish? Can you go out and just go to a Spanish-speaking person, and they're going to understand you? No. That would be silly, wouldn't it? You've got to hear. You've got to learn what those words are. And you begin to open your heart and your mind to that language, and you'll grow an understanding of that language, both how to speak it, and when you hear them, you'll be able to understand it. In that same way, many of us say, oh, I know how to live. I know how to be a husband or a wife. I know how to be a mom or a dad. I just know. It's just like going out and thinking, I know Spanish, and we don't know it. We don't know how to live. But there is a meekness that comes from saying, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. I'm going to open my heart and I'm going to listen to you. What do you have to say to me? A wise man will hear and increase in learning. And does it go on to say, but fools? There's another one that says, but fools. Yes, in verse 7, fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's a picture that Jesus gave in the New Testament about five wise virgins and five foolish virgins. The foolish virgins, they did not think through. They were presuming on the future, but they weren't preparing for it. That's the difference between wisdom and foolishness. Is that when you have a reverence and a fear and an honor toward God, and you have a reverence and an honor toward what He has made and His laws and His order, God, you have a meekness and an openness toward His instruction. It causes you then to be very aware. This is how wisdom works in your life. You begin to be aware. You begin to be aware of others. You begin to be aware of danger. You begin to be aware of the need for preparation in your life. But a foolish person is just simply not aware. He doesn't see danger. He's not aware of any need for preparation. He's not aware of the needs of others. So a foolish person essentially is a self-centered person. Somebody that's only thinking of me and the here and the now, and I rarely or scarcely or hardly ever see beyond me. That's what a fool is. But a wise person, there's so many scriptures, I can't get them all. A wise person, because their heart is open to God, God begins to put this awareness. And it can happen even as a little child. You can grow in wisdom. It's really to grow in awareness and knowledge and understanding of the world around you, particularly the people that we deal with. There are places in life where God gives special wisdom. And I think about those handymen in the Old Testament that built the temple. It said God gave them the spirit of wisdom, that they knew how to beat that gold into shapes that looked like berries and fruits and flowers and angels. They knew how to do that, why God gave them that ability. As you and I grow in awareness and in reception in our to God, as we humble ourselves to God, did you know God can give you gifts? He can give you abilities that you wouldn't have if you were stiff and proud. Think about what Dan has said, and I've brought this out before, but Dan has said that he thought he knew carpentry. And so he didn't even consider other carpenters and the way they did things, because he said, as a young 21-year-old, he said he knew it. He knew how to build. But he said he really learned carpentry when he began to open his mind that other people had things that they could teach him. There were other carpenters that did things. And when he began to understand, hey, I could do it this way and it would save me time and it would save me materials and it would just turn out better, then he really began to learn. There's a meekness of wisdom that if we don't have that meekness, if we constantly go through life, don't teach me anything, don't tell me anything, we will be the most foolish person. We won't even get to our own full potential because we won't receive those gifts that come from being aware and from being just able to learn. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say today. So when we're not aware, when we're thinking of only of ourselves, our lives are filled with strife and envying, and all that is just self-centeredness. And we don't really have the true wisdom. The true wisdom, where does it come from? Proverbs chapter 2, verse 2. There's several instructions here, and I'm just going to read them briefly. Incline your ear to wisdom. This is how we're going to get wisdom. Incline your ear. That means if I'm plugged in, you know how when somebody's got headset on and you want to talk to them and tell them something, what do they need to do? They need to take their headset off and say, huh? Because when you're trying to communicate with somebody that's got a headset on and they've got some kind of a story going or music, you just can't communicate. This is what this means. Incline your ear to wisdom. Take all the other headsets off and incline your ear to wisdom. Then it goes on and it says, apply your heart to understanding. To apply yourself means to be willing. Just to be willing. I'll be willing to do it this way. It means laying down what I've said. I can do this. I can do this. And just say, teach me. Apply yourself. Give it. And then when somebody doesn't want to do something somebody else is trying to tell them to do, will you do it very good? You won't do it very good, will you? But if you'll give it your heart, sweeping a floor. I remember as a child, I thought I could sweep. And you know how I would do? I would take that broom and I would just go just real, real hard like that. And I'm a girl. I'm thinking I can sweep. No boy's going to tell me how to do this. And a young man, just a little older than me, he came over to me. He took the broom out of my hand. He said, Angela, I want to show you how to sweep. And he took that broom and he did a very firm but gentle. He didn't stir up a big bunch of dust. I'll never forget that. This guy taught me how to sweep. And ever since then, whenever I get a broom, you know who I think of? I think of Barry Heron. Every time. He's the one who taught me how to sweep. What if I would have said, get out of here. I don't want no guy teaching me how to sweep. I would have always stirred up a bunch of dust and made things worse than worse. But he taught me how to sweep. So if we'll open our hearts and apply ourselves, okay, I'll do what you taught me to do, then we get things done. He said, this goes on. It says, cry after it. That really, it takes it to a new level, doesn't it? It's saying to you, realize that you don't have it on your own. And take some time. Go to your secret place where you talk to God and say, God, just show me how. Teach me how. I don't know how. Cry after it. Lord, I'm really earnest. I need to know. I need to know how to deal with this person. Did you know that there's impossible situations that God actually gives you in your life? Like was said a while ago, all things work together for good, and a lot of times it's for good to you, but it's a lot of times it's for good for others. But God doesn't just give you just easy situations. And that's what we should say, Lord, don't just give me tasks equal to my powers, but give me powers equal to the task that you've given me. Maybe you have an impossible person to deal with. God allowed that in your life. If we can cry after wisdom and say, Lord, I don't know how to deal with this person. I don't know how to talk to them. Help me, give me wisdom. Did you know God will do that? He will do that for us. He will just open up things for you, creative things that you've never thought about. There is a way to deal and to get along with every person. I really believe that God can help us. Now, I'm still asking God on some of those things. But I have faith that there is a way that God can help us to know how to deal with people. If you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, and then he goes on and says it like this, if you seek her as silver, if you think about those guys in the gold rush and other guys who dug for diamonds in Africa, stories that you've heard, what do? They give up everything, don't they? They go after it with all their heart. And then people today who really want to get rich, you have to marry your business, don't you? You have to go after it to get it. A lot of people who go after money, they just lay aside everything else, their relationships, everything, and getting rich is their goal. Well, he's not saying do this, but he's saying as people do that with riches, you do this with wisdom. You seek wisdom as some people seek for gold. And then he says in verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. How many people have said to me, well, I don't understand God. Well, I don't understand this about God. And why God this? And why God that? And why the church? And why the Bible? And all that. You know what? If they would do this, if they would come to God and put their defenses down. Now, you have to have a defense down that you've got up against God. Just lay it down and honor him and respect him as God and say, you know and I don't know. Please show me. When you do that, then you begin to understand God. The things that are so vague to you about God will begin to be clear. God will begin to show his light to you. He'll shine his light down in your life. And you know what? When we've had God shine his light in our lives, this is our testimony, that our life before was like darkness until God showed us his light. When we're walking in the darkness of anger, resentment, bitterness, it's a darkness to our lives. But when you open your heart to God and you say, God, I don't know. Please show me. And he gives you his light. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. He's the Father of lights. And every good and perfect gift comes from him. So he's the author of wisdom. It says here, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Now Job, in the book of Job 28, I believe it is. Or is it 38? Let me see. It's 28. Job had this to say. In verse 12, where shall wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. Where is wisdom to be found? He said, And the very end of that, you can read it. I'm not going to read it all. Job said unto man, God said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. And he also goes on to say later about wisdom. Oh, the Lord asked Job, who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Or who hath given understanding to the heart? God asked the question, but God knew the answer. God's the only one. The Lord gives wisdom. So we must have a fear, or I say fear, but let's say honor, an honor and a respect Him as Lord and as God. Because He's the one who gives wisdom. And He'll give it to you. He'll give us wisdom. We need wisdom, don't we? Let's see. In the 31st chapter of Proverbs, it talks about a virtuous woman. And this is such a challenge to me. In verse 26, it says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. To be a mother that can be a blessing to her family or to be a wife, we need wisdom. We don't have it on our own. We must take these steps that I've showed you and come to God, take our defenses, be meek and humble before God, and ask Him for wisdom. That's the only way we can open our mouth with wisdom. And it says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Oh, how important it is for a mother to not just give rules, to not just teach her children do and don't, but to be kind. Ecclesiastes also has a verse here in chapter 10 and verse 12. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. So not just a woman, not just a mother, but a father. A father who wants to win the hearts of his children, he must be gracious. Wisdom that is from above, let's go back to our first verse, is pure. It's free from agendas that are selfish. It's pure. It's untainted with anything that's less than I want the best for you. That's what this means. It's pure. And it's peaceable. It's gentle and easy to be entreated. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. Also in Ecclesiastes in chapter 9, verse 16, he said, wisdom is better than strength. You can be a mom or a dad and just say, I'm bigger than you. You're going to do what I say. But wisdom is better than strength. Wisdom is profitable, it says. Let's see. Where is it that it said it's profitable to direct? Wisdom is better than strength. Verse 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war. Verse 10 of chapter 10. If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. This is like living without wisdom. I'm bigger than you. Do what I say. It's like having an instrument that's blunt, trying to do things with an instrument that's blunt. But when you sharpen your instrument, you can just... somebody taught me this about a hoe. I was using this old blunt hoe and just having to chop at those weeds. And my daughter said, Mom, if you'll sharpen your hoe, you can just take it and you can just lay that hoe down there and it'll just cut those roots and those weeds out. Tried it, and it sure works. It's like wisdom. Wisdom is profitable to direct. Wisdom is like sharpening your hoe in your life. You don't have to put so much strength and force, but wisdom is profitable. It's like being able to skillfully use a tool instead of just beating something with it. I remember in my youth seeing a man who needed to cut a notch in some wood. And I was amazed because what he did was he ran his circular saw like zoo, 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 and he cut several things. And then he took a hammer and beat it out. And that's how he made his notch. Maybe that's a way. I don't know. But I just thought, you know, I just thought you would take a tool like a, what would you do? Well, a chisel? Oh, a handsaw. I was thinking of a little saber saw. Is that what it would be? The little jigsaw. I don't know. And just go, zhoop, zhoop, zhoop. But I was just amazed to see that man take a hammer and just beat the wood out of the notch. Wisdom, it says, is profitable to direct. Ecclesiastes 11. Wisdom is good with an inheritance. Now, I agree with that statement as it is right there. But my margin, or another translation said, wisdom is as good as an inheritance, yea, better. So let's think about what he's saying here. If you get a bunch of money given to you, but you don't have wisdom to know how to use it, what good is it, right? Have you heard about these people that win the lottery, and then in just a few years, it's gone? They don't have wisdom to know how to deal with all that money. So Solomon is saying here, you need wisdom. In fact, having wisdom is better than getting a lot of money. But if you do get a lot of money, you need wisdom to know how to deal with it. In verse 19 of Ecclesiastes 7, wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. Think about all these things. Wisdom's better than strength. It's better than riches. It's profitable to direct and to sharpen the edge of your tool. Then I think about this. All of these things apply to our lives, especially at home. Especially at home. If we don't have wisdom in our lives at home, to me, that's the most fatal failure, is to fail at home. I'm trying to find a verse here. Colossians 4 and 5. And I want somebody to read that one, and then I want to get another one in Proverbs. Proverbs 11 and 30. Can somebody read Colossians 4 and 5?
Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time.
Now, who are the people that are without? When the Bible talks about those that are without, it's talking about people that are outside of Christ, people that are not saved. So Christians are to walk in wisdom toward those people that are not saved. Can you think of a sadder thing than for us Christians to not use wisdom to the people that need to be saved? How many people have been turned away from Christ because we had a blunt edge to our tools? No wisdom. I remember reading a book one time, and a new pastor had come to this little church in this book. And he preached a simple message, and even the little boys in the congregation were able to understand it. And somebody told him later, they said something to him and said, "Pastor, you just preached a short, basic message this morning." And he said, "Well, there's no sense in throwing a whole load of hay at a bunch of calves." And that's true. He knew that just to be wise in what you're giving was so much better. 11 of Proverbs and 35. Somebody get that? 11 and 30, whatever it was I said.
The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, but he that winneth souls is wise.
He that winneth souls is wise. That's really what we're here to do, isn't it? Is to win people. How do we win people? We can't win people by showing them all the light we have. I'm right. See how right I am? I know this. You're wrong. You see how wrong you are? We can't do that. But we can win with wisdom. And remember, wisdom that is from above is first pure, and it's peaceable, and it's gentle, easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and good fruits. Well, this is part of the little burden I have. I want to share it with you, and I trust the Lord will help us to apply it to our lives, especially our everyday lives at home. Our loved ones, our children, our parents, our brothers and sisters. How much better it is for us to direct our ways with wisdom, to open our mouths with wisdom, to have words. There's one scripture that I didn't get, and it's a prophecy of Jesus, but it's also so good for us. It says, I opened my ear to hear as the learned. Isaiah 50. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. If our words have in them the power of life and death, shouldn't we ask for wisdom to help us to know how to speak, to give a word at the right time? That's what this means. The Lord has opened my ear. He has awakened me. Morning by morning, it says, he opens my ear to hear as the learned. This is where we get the wisdom that we need to speak. He said, let your speech be always with grace and seasoned with salt. I believe that salt that Jesus said should be in our lives is wisdom. To know how to season our words, that they be wise and winning. Amen. Pray for me.